Before we hear from or take any questions or hear from our other chairs of our internal committees, I'd like to call upon Senator Noreen Evans at this time to present resolutions from the California State Legislature. Oh, fine. We're flexible. When we're ready for those resolutions, please let us know. Believe we have time to fill here.
My assistant is parking the car and they're in the trunk.
We understand.
Sorry.
Well, then that means next up will be Executive and Planning Committee Judge David Rubin, Vice Chair, because Justice Miller is joining us by phone.
That's right. Thank you, Chief. Justice Miller regrets that he can't be here. He's tormenting fish in Utah. He can't be here in person, but he asked me to deliver his oral report. His written report is posted online. The Executive and Planning Committee sets the agenda for council meetings, and today's agenda reflects the committee's intent to focus primarily on budget-related matters. Our July 21st agenda-setting meeting via telephone was historic, and something of which we were especially proud, in that it was the very first public Executive and Planning Committee meeting held under the new open meeting rules that requires the Judicial Council Advisory Committee meetings be open to the public, and that was done telephonically and went off without a hitch, I might add. I know there was a lot of concern, or we know there was a lot of concern within the branch on making these meetings public. However, we are convinced it was the right thing to do, and we did it, and as I say, it went off without a hitch and was very successful. Again, Justice Miller's report is online or for everyone to it. And with that, I conclude our report. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Rubin. Next, we'll hear from PCLC, Judge Kenneth Soe, Chair.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee has been quite busy the last few months. We've met 7 times since the last report to the Council, 2 times in May, 3 times in June, and 2 times in July. We've taken positions on behalf of the Council on 22 separate pieces of legislation and recommended 1 proposal for Council sponsorship. I'm not going to go over each piece of legislation, but I'm going to talk about some of the highlights. At its May 15th meeting, the committee voted to support, if amended, AB 1887, dealing with the sealing and destruction of arrest records for offenses relating to solicitation of prostitution. At its June 5th meeting, the committee voted to support, if amended, AB 2098 and SB 1110, both dealing with veterans. We also supported AB 2397 concerning a defendant's appearance by video. At the June 10th meeting, PCLC took a support, if amended, position on AB 1585 related to human trafficking and SB 1227, which would create a pretrial diversion program for members of the military. Additionally, PCLC took an oppose unless amended position on AB 2332. This bill, of course, replicates last year's AB 566 that would impact the trial court's ability to contract out for personal services. On June 19th, the committee acted to support and continue a sponsorship of AB 1657 related to interpreter services and also took a support position on AB 1591 related to firearms. At the July 17th meeting, PCLC took support positions on 2 pending pieces of legislation. The first is SB 940, the California Conservatorship Jurisdiction Act that provides for interstate jurisdiction transfer and recognition of conservatorships. The second is SB 1412, which applies procedures currently governing persons incompetent to stand trial to cases when a defendant subject to mandatory supervision or post-release community supervision faces revocation of their conditional release. That's a cleanup piece of legislation for realignment. PCLC also has had an open meeting, and that was on July 24th. At that open meeting, PCLC recommended for Judicial Council-sponsored legislation a legislative proposal to use the $40 million one-time cash available for courthouse capital projects due to the Fiscal Year 2014-2015 Budget Act Immediate and Critical Needs Account reduction from $50 to $10 million for trial court operations, and that would be item D. The legislature will reconvene from summer recess on August 4th for the final push before the session concludes on August 31st, and I'm grateful for the the way that PCLC committee members have all made time in their busy schedules to attend our meetings. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Stowe. Next, we'll hear from Justice Harry Hull for Rules and Projects.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My report will be brief this morning. As most of us know, we're sort of in a quiet period in the rule cycles. But in any event, since the April 25th Judicial Council meeting, the Rules and Projects Committee met once and communicated by email on one matter. On May the 1st, RUPRO approved by email modifications to a proposal that it had approved for circulation for comment at a RUPRO meeting on April the 16th. The proposal has circulated with modifications following further review by the Proponent Advisory Committee and RUPRO. This proposal is expected to come before the Council at the October 2014 business meeting, along with other proposals that circulated during the spring comment cycle. On July the 17th, RUPRO met by phone to consider a proposal for rule amendments to retire the name Administrative Office of the Courts. RUPRO approves this proposal, which is item B on today's discussion agenda. That concludes my formal report. I will say, since Judge Rubin has already taken the opportunity to abuse Justice Miller for his love of fly fishing, I will add that during a conversation I was having with him when he was wading into his favorite river recently, we had to be interrupted because he said there was a water snake staring him in the eye. And he had more important things to do than talk to me at that moment. So, Justice Miller, I'm glad to hear your voice this morning. You're still alive and well. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Hull.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Judge James Herman on the Technology Committee.
Thank you, Chief. Since our in-person meeting in June, we've met once on July 21st. At that meeting, the committee reviewed the Technology Planning Task Force's final report on governance, strategic plan, tactical plan, and funding, and will be recommending that plan to the Council at our next meeting in August. The plans were approved unanimously by JCTC. We also received a report on a proposed budget change proposal that would provide a new document management system for the Supreme Court and for the Courts of Appeal. The system will capture, manage, store, and preserve essential case documents and administrative records. And the JCTC gave conditional approval for this budget change proposal to move forward through the Council and as a change proposal to be included by September 2nd. We also received updates on the budget impacts to the Improvement and Modernization Fund, and about 40% of that fund funds technology projects to serve the trial courts. We also looked at the issue of data exchange with our exchanges with statewide justice partners as courts are transitioning to new case management decisions. And this is going to be a fairly big issue for the courts. About 27 courts are now in deployment of new case management systems, and we need to work together collectively with the courts, with state-level justice partners, with the vendors, in order to figure out what the best solution is for those data interfaces. We also reported on a meeting with Carlos Ramos, the director of the California Technology Agency that Kurt Sutherland and I had back in June. We also went over a survey that has been distributed to the V3 courts. As the Council may recall, the Council directed JCTC on recommendation from Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to work with the V3 courts in order to move the V3 courts over a period of time off of funding. That survey, as I said, has gone out, and we're expecting responses in terms of what the V3 courts are planning for their systems by August 7th. And we also received an update on the California State Auditor's report, System Integrity, which I'll go over in a moment in some detail. The Technology Planning Task Force will sunset, having delivered its final report, and I, again, want to acknowledge the efforts of that task force, its support by ITSO, as well as the leadership of Rob O'Young, who was project manager, Judge Slough, our incoming council member, who led the finance track, Jake Chatters of Placer for the governance track, and Brian Cota, for the strategic planning and tactical planning track. As the council may recall, back in December of 2013, the California State Auditor's report addressed the issue of information technology security with the recommendation that a template and a blueprint be developed to assess information technology security issues both at the branch level and within the trial courts, with the idea that this blueprint template would be completed at state level by the end of the fiscal year and by December 31st for the trial courts. So at this point, that template has been prepared by ITSO staff in working with chair of PJ Advisory Committee as well as chair of SEAC. We have sent out a letter to the trial courts including that information to assist them in assessing their own IT systems to progress towards bringing them up to speed. Budget is going to be the real challenge, I think, going forward for the trial courts. That is the ability not just to adopt a blueprint, but also to go forward with upgrading security in light of a budget situation which does not allocate money for technology for the courts. And, Chief, that does conclude my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge Herman.